Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by head of production, our co-host, Seth Haphacker.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for being with us, everybody. Seth and I got a bunch of great show to get to, but we want to kick things off talking to our good friend, Brittany Merlot, a little Mother Nature. Good morning, Britt. How you doing today?
Good morning. I'm sitting in front of my space heater right now. End of May.
Good place to be.
I was really taken back by the cold of yesterday, and you warned us, and I took that in consideration and still wasn't ready for it.
Yikes.
Yeah, and those winds were just whipping, too. I was trying to drive on the highway, and it was just blowing me around to the different lanes. It was pretty vicious. Thankfully, the winds are much calmer today. They're still feisty, around 25 miles per hour, but that's a little bit more tolerable. Less of a wind chill on top of highs today that are only scraping the low 50s once again. So still crisp, cool, dark, damp, raw is a good word I'm using because it just feels so cool and raw and gross. The light rain continuing on and off throughout the day today. Even into tonight, it's still possible. A good quarter of an inch is likely. And then it stops overnight. Clouds start to clear, and we will wake up to some sunshine tomorrow and warmer temperatures hitting about 60, finally.
Awesome.
A little warmer, but 60 will feel better than about mid-40s.
We'll take it.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah,
we'll definitely take it. It's as if we're a couple months ago, and we were just looking for anything close to nice weather and everything. Cut it back to that a little. And it's looking like it, we should have some ups and downs here. That is Wisconsin weather. We're ready for that. Brittany, I have a natural transition to go from weather into our opening topic that Seth and I are about to get into, flying cars. Now, I don't think any of us ever would have thought those two worlds would combine, but because I had this story lined up right away to talk about after we got done hanging out with you, Brittany, it did get me thinking, because I've made my claim on this hill that I don't think we're ready for flying cars as a society. I don't think we've earned them yet. I don't think we're ready for that. That's an opinion. I don't have any, I'm just taking that as an opinion, but I've never thought about, the weather in flying cars, and that feels like a whole other factor to worry about.
Yeah, it does.
I don't know lightning. There's a handful of things that I'd never thought about until chance these two subjects kind of colliding here and everything.
Yes, that is a good, interesting topic. Actually, I saw a flying car for sale that you could actually buy at Oshkosh EAA Air Venture last year, and I was intrigued. I was like, okay, wait, I can order this right now. But they definitely have their limits. They can't go very high. There's definitely rules, and you do have to get practically almost a meteorology degree. You do need to learn some weather forecasting in order to fly that in a private pilot's license.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that wild? I hadn't even thought about that part of it, too. Mm-hmm. It's not just that you would probably need a driver's license, but a pilot's license, too, to be able to do that. That's interesting. Yeah.
Think about all of that. My gosh. And you know what? If you're traveling by car or plane or flying car, you still don't want to go anywhere in Newark. You just want to stay away from Newark. Yes. Okay. Just get that out there.
And avoid the Dan Ryan in Chicago. Really, really. I know what I'm talking about with that one. I do. I'll stay on the ground. I will be one of those people like that person, who was the last person to start using the internet.
Or the last person with the cell phone, right? Yeah.
I love flying, but not in the car. No, thank you. Brittany, we appreciate it.
So cool to kick it in, though, and then just go right above all that stop traffic on the Dan Ryan and just go right above them, hover right above and pass it. That would be cool.
It would. And I'm immediately thinking of Star Wars when they jump to light speed and how cool that. I mean, that's hit me since I was a little kid. So you got me. You got me. I'll do it. Have a good morning, Brittany. Thanks for joining us.
You too.
Best in the business right there, Brittany Merlot, putting up with me and all of our fun stuff we do.
All the silliness. Just silliness.
Seth and I are going to continue talking cars, and not only flying cars in a moment, but the Wienermobile is racing at the Indianapolis 500. I didn't know this. Yeah. Getting to that a little bit later.
They've changed the aerodynamics a little bit, I guess.
It's going to, the ratings have been rough. So they're trying anything they can. We got the how many barbecues the average American can expect to attend this summer or host.
Okay.
Got all that coming up. Got some great entertainment news for you. And not only to kick off the 10 o'clock hour, but after we dive into some interesting notes and news and stuff, I want to get into with you, Seth, ABC, NBC, and Fox and their upcoming schedule.
Okay.
And some really interesting stuff that's going on with that. And cable and streaming.
Mm.
We're going to dive into that a little bit before our news break.
Yeah, I heard something interesting about Fox just recently about what they have for programming on their network, and it's really fascinating to me where the networks are at this point.
We'll be getting into all of that, but as I mentioned with you and Brittany, the first mass-produced flying car will go on sale earlier next year. But even if you get a good deal on financing, it's got a hefty price tag. A company in Slovakia called Klein Vision says its new air car will cost a very reasonable $800,000.
Very reasonable.
Up to $1 million if you add upgrades. Like seatbelts.
No, I don't know. No cup holders. You get those cup holders.
Seatbelts, $1 million. It's $1 million for a seatbelt. Even if you can afford it, you might not want one. It's technically a flying car, but not the hover car we were promised in like Back to the Future and all that.
Yeah, right.
Like, as Brittany was just touching on, and that's really cool that she saw that and everything in person and everything. It's basically just a sports car with retractable wings and a propeller in the back. So you can't lift off in traffic. You still need a runway and a pilot's license.
Of course. Yep.
It transforms into an airplane in under 2 minutes, has a range of 621 miles, and a top cruising speed of 155 miles an hour at about 18,000 feet.
Okay.
So, you know, before I just completely, you know, be sarcastic and all that with this and everything, I do want to note the technology, you know, the advancement of that. It's very cool. The human brain and what we accomplish and the things that we do. We've normalized it since we landed on the moon. Ever since then, everything has been kind of normalized. Mm. And I don't like that we do that so much. I think this stuff is amazing. It's really cool that we've created a flying car. As cool as it was that we created planes. Mm-hmm. It's as cool as we've made flying so darn normalized.
Right.
It's not a big deal for most of the people in the audience here have either flown or at least know somebody who's flown.
Yeah, right.
All these things are not normal. It's amazing what we've accomplished as human beings.
Right.
It's also noteworthy that the technology has lapped us.
Mm.
And you don't need much more proof of that than the fact that of just take a look at society and whatever angle you want to look at it. Kids looking at screens too much, kids not looking at this too much enough, or you know AI or any of these other conversations that we have.
Right.
We're fixing the boat on the water.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the middle of that right now.
Right.
And I think you can do both things at once. You can marvel at man, we have accomplished some really really cool things, and that is awesome.
For sure.
And you know go. Humans. All right. Way to go, humans.
Team humans. Rah, rah.
At the same time.
Well, then, yeah, that's the thing, right? We unfettered, you know, anything. We need to take a step back on a lot of these things. There's because we don't know all the applications, right? I mean, we see that this. Well, I mean, we're not going to get into the mass AI delusion that's going on right now. But something like, you know, even the self-driving cars. I mean, we're so far away with those, too, kind of things. And we've hit kind of a weird cycle now where we're getting a lot more hype than anything that's actually being produced.
Yeah.
It used to follow the other way, right? Apple comes out with the iPhone. You know, they're like, yeah, this is going to, you know, maybe change the world, you know, something like that. And it sort of did. Mm-hmm. And that kind of thing is really cool. But they didn't do it beforehand.
Yeah.
They didn't say, make all these gigantic claims about it. Is where we're at with especially AI now. I mean, just insane.
I would like the idea, too, of us being able to really get these things hammered down before releasing.
100%.
Let's take a phone call. Good morning. You're on the show.
Good morning, James.
Hey, good morning, bud. How you doing?
What's the big deal about buying cars? The Jetsons had no problem.
Extremely good point by you. That is a really strong point. You got me there. You're right.
Yeah.
You know, Jetsons made it work. They were all right.
I'm on board. I'm on board with the Jetsons. As long as it makes that sound. That's what I want. I want that sound.
You got to have, what was the dog's name again?
Astro.
Yes. You got to have a great dog with you, like Astro. That makes it help a lot. Appreciate the fact. Reporting by you, sir. And always good to talk to you, bud. Have a great morning. Big shout out to all of our friends over there.
Yeah, that was great.
And a good point. And a fair point.
Yes. Jetsons.
The flying cars will hit the sky in early 2026, at least in Europe. They're hoping to get them approved in the U.S. this fall. It depends on who they put money in the pocket of.
Yeah, right.
I don't know.
They come with bags of cash to the right people. Oh, there'll be no problem getting it in here.
Here's the other part of this. This company, Klein Vision, is not one of the big car manufacturers. Mm-hmm. They're going to want their piece of the pie, I would imagine, if they're smart about this, at least. I mean, that's just innovation. That's just business.
Right.
I would imagine that all the big car companies that are left, whatever's left with those, are certainly going to want their piece of the pie, because this is going to be cutting into that. This is definitely going to cut into that. Once this is established and everything, and if it even gets legalized here in the States.
Who knows?
It's odd when you look at certain things that, you know, Europe or other countries are, you could say, for lack of a better word, harder on than we are, and then things that we are that they aren't.
Mm.
And the way that works. It's just interesting. It's weird how that works sometimes. I don't know. You guys go right ahead, though. I will be the last guy.
If you're interested, go right ahead. Yeah,
I get all the parking spots, man.
Yep.
I get all the great parking spots that way. You guys can have the skies. I'll take all the good parking spots down here.
Instead of a car, let's work on a really useful jetpack. Let's do that instead. I'm curious about, actually, none of this stuff is going to work until we figure out a theory of gravity. Anyone theory of gravity? Maybe we can do anti-gravity? Didn't think so.
The idea of jetpacks has always been one of the most science fiction things in the world to me.
You are so right, man. Just watch anything, you know, back in that old serial back in the 30s, Commando Cody or whatever, Commander Cody or whatever, and then even like the Rocketeer, you know, that movie.
Yes.
Their legs would be fried off.
They're losing
jet fluid.
There's just no way.
No.
There's no way. You'd have to be like a very short human being with a very long jetpack.
Exactly.
And even then, I'm not sure how you land. I think that jetpacks may be the last of all the science fiction things that we get down. We may be time traveling before there are jetpacks.
By the time we get to jetpacks, we'll have like a perfected like transporter, transporting people, you know, from place to place, and we won't even need them anymore.
Yeah.
They'll be like a hobby thing.
That's how it's going to work. The flying cars, the jetpacks, all that stuff's going to happen. Like we're not even going to care.
Yeah, it's like, who cares? I can transport myself to France right now, right?
It's like the alien thing. Like the UFO, like a couple years ago, like pretty much admitted, and not pretty much, they did. And in fact, unidentified flying objects, technically UFOs. Nobody cared. Nobody said a darn thing. It's, you know, one of those things.
UAIs, by the way, it's unidentified aerial phenomena.
Yes, got to get it right.
So
I don't
want to
get in trouble with Mulder and Scully. I don't want to get in trouble. Be right back with more show coming up, morning show at WFHR. You heard the boys. It's time to do some celebrating with our great friends over at El Cafe and the Birthday and Anniversary Club. We encourage you to treat yourself. Get on over there today, 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Enjoy some great food, great atmosphere, and some wonderful people over at El Cafe.
Delicious.
Good stuff going
nutritious.
On over there.
Awesome.
Yes, all of the above.
I have no idea if it's nutritious, and I don't care, really.
No.
Especially the pies.
Good.
I don't care.
Nope. I don't care. You can go ahead and have what it's doing to my body right in front of me, and I'm just going to eat
don't
and
care.
Smile.
Yeah.
Enjoy some great stuff over there at El Cafe. Wish them a good one from all of us, everybody. And get us those birthdays and anniversaries. We love celebrating with you. info@WFHR.com. You can email us that way. You can direct message us on our Facebook pages as well, WFHR or WIRIs. Encourage you to like those pages, everybody. And, of course, you can use that Civic Media app. You can call on up.
Right. Or call 715-424-2600. It's easy. It's free. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Call us, text us. We don't care. We want to hear from you.
We love hearing those live birthdays and anniversaries.
Yes, we do.
Get them to us, everybody. Seth, I need a 1 through 3.
3 today.
Gives us that one. We can get right into it. And first up, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Pam's cousin, Alan Fletcher, who grew up right here in Rapids, now lives in Waukesha.
Oh, very nice. Happy birthday.
Waukesha?
Or wait a minute. Waukesha?
Waukesha.
It's Waukesha.
Yeah. We hope you have a great one, Alan. Enjoy your day, sir. It's a good one. And thanks for including that, Pam.
Yeah.
We wish a very happy birthday to Carrie Nikolai.
Happy birthday.
Enjoy the day, Carrie. Hope it's a good one for you. Wishing you the best of days. And we wish a happy 59th anniversary to Jim and Sharon Mahoney.
Oh, congratulations, you two. Awesome. 59 years. That's amazing.
Wishing you guys the best of days and enjoy your anniversary. And it's a Wednesday. You're halfway through the week. Enjoy just into the weekend.
Yeah, just keep it going, man.
Keep it going. And
take time off. You don't even tell your bosses. We gave you permission. That's all you need to do. Yeah.
Anybody says anything like, look, the DJs on the radio told us
we told you could do it.
It's fine. Yeah. And celebrating their 31st anniversary, Jeffrey and Judy Neiman.
Oh, another anniversary. Congratulations, you guys.
Wishing you guys a fantastic anniversary.
Yes,
indeed. You're our qualifiers today.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and take a quick phone call. Good morning. You're on the show.
Oops, I got the wrong number. I'm very sorry.
Hey, that's all right.
That's all right.
You have a good morning, sir. You have a good morning. Yeah.
Very good, very good.
We appreciate you guys calling up with those birthdays and anniversaries or those calls. You know, it's just great to always have calls.
Yes.
You know, we're fine.
We like calls.
Happy anniversary to Jeffrey and Judy, our qualifiers. Happy 31st, you
two. Yes, absolutely.
Let's see who you're sharing your birthday with, you guys. Taking a look at our celebrity list. This is one of those times where I did not get a chance to pre-read this.
Okay.
Cody Johnson is 38. I just almost walked into one, man. Cody Johnson is 38, country singer. I saw him on American Idol finale and Dirt Cheap, one of those songs.
Yep.
He's got. Let's see here. Josh Hamilton is 44, former Cincinnati Reds outfielder. A lot of possibilities with him early in his career.
Boy, he turned. Boy, go check out his story.
Yeah,
he has an amazing story. He was a prospect, I believe, for the Rays. He was a highly touted prospect. He unfortunately had a lot of issues with drugs. And was out of baseball for a while and then made his way back. He came back with Cincinnati, but then he really had a run there with the Texas Rangers in the late 2000, early 2010s when their two World Series appearances. What a story.
There's few athletes that I was rooting more for than him.
Mm-hmm.
Just in him turning it around and doing something, positive with the
Absolutely.
Way things went for him.
Yes.
Goit? I can't remember how it's spelled. 45 for him. Somebody that I used to know, the big hit that he had a couple of summers back.
Right.
And by that, I mean like 10 summers ago.
Yeah.
Jeez, that was a long time
ago. It's always further away than you think, right?
It's always weird to me when sad songs like that, because I don't know, maybe to some it isn't a sad song, but to me, sad songs like that are hits.
Yeah.
You know, it's always interesting. You're hot summer day, the radio's, the pop station's playing music, and then that one comes out. It's like, oh, well, all right, I guess the vibe's down at the barbecue now. It's, I don't know. Good singer and a very good song. Still holds up, I think. I don't think a lot of people might say this, but I'm gonna. One of the stars of the 80s,
ooh,
Judd Reinhold, is 68 today.
Judd Reinhold. He, he was a really good actor.
And
he was a very good actor.
Beverly Hills Cop, Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had a run there in the 80s.
I mean,
not of the level of certain actors, certainly.
No.
But consistent work.
He was a go-to guy. I mean, he maybe not like a star. He wasn't a leading man, but he was like second banana, like that second person, He played like a villain, or he played, like a foil or something like that. I always thought he was a really good actor.
He was the perfect contrast to Eddie Murphy and I can't think of it, the other actor, and Beverly Hills Cop.
Yep.
Those three really made those movies for me.
They're
interacting and all that, the different personalities.
Yep.
And I thought he was really good back then. He also had a great guest spot in Arrested Development.
I agree. Where
he played a judge. Judge Judd Reinhold.
Oh, my
God. It was so good.
Seriously?
It was great. It was
too on the nose there, Arrested Development.
He leaned right into it,
too. I'm sure he did.
He played himself and everything. Did it really good. I pity the fool that doesn't know Mr. T's birthday is today.
Woo!
73 for Mr. B.A. Baracus.
Oh, man.
Clubber Lang and Rocky III.
Yeah. He had a moment, you know? He really did.
He had a decade.
He had a decade. Speaking of the 80s, he was, boy, he might have been one of the biggest stars of the 80s.
Easily one of the biggest stars.
He appeared everywhere, man. He was like, he was in, yeah, wrestling for a while. You know, he was like, what, like Hulk Hogan's manager or something like that. I can't remember what it was. But yeah, and of course the A-Team, he was on, you know, they had a cartoon show where he was like the lead.
Yeah.
I mean, he seized the moment. And I love the fact that he's kind of hung around too. It's great.
If you were sitting there and you were going to try to have the career that Mr. T had, there's no way you could map that out.
No.
There's no way you could say, well, I'm going to do this, this, and this, and it's going to lead to this, this, and this. Everything he did and everything he was able to accomplish is really noteworthy in this, considering, like, well, what was he, a stand-up comedian, an actor? What exactly was he necessarily? Right. He really didn't have anything you could label. He had a G.I. Joe guy.
He
was huge.
I'm telling you, huge. Man, you need right now, well, not right now, but when the show is done, everyone, you need to go out and look up the single he released, his anti-drug song.
Right.
Oh my God. It is awesomeness. Plus,
it is really
it's
good.
Hilarious.
It is really good.
Oh man.
You may never do another bad thing again after listening to it.
It's hilarious.
I also almost forgot Taxi. That he was where his
really?
Big start and everything. The TV show Taxi. He was in a movie, or Car Wash. He was in Car
Wash.
Car Wash.
There you go. That's a good movie.
A great movie.
Yeah.
Great movie. I don't care what anybody says. Great movie. I love that movie. Richard Pryor.
A lot of great actors in that one.
A lot of great cameos in that one. Yeah, just, you know, and I do, if I have this right, I do believe a cancer survivor as well.
That
Mr.
is correct,
T.
Yes.
In 73, still going.
Still going strong.
Still does stuff. And he does still have the mohawk and everything.
He's still got the chains, man.
And another 80s star, Al Franken, is 74 today. Former lead SNL writer, cast member, of course, former Minnesota senator.
Yep, that's right.
Very, very interesting flip in his career, but actually kind of what we're seeing a lot more now with entertainers going into
really
politics.
We really are. We're seeing it a lot, yeah.
I was a big Al Franken fan. He was the guy that I found... you can be a writer and an actor on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite all-time top five Weekend Update things is Al Franken's roving reporter thing, where he had all the technology on his back and all this stuff in the satellite. And he's, I'm trying to, if I stand right here. God, I love those bits.
He picked his spots for acting. I know he was featured on a few things. And of course, a lot of people remember, you know, Stuart Smalley and some of his other characters. But yeah.
Gosh darn it, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and people like me.
Exactly. See?
Such a good character.
Yep.
Ronald Isley is 84 today, lead singer of the Isley Brothers.
Oh.
One
of the great underrated bands. Man, they had such a long career, too. Oh, love the Isleys. Some of my favorite stuff.
You and I were talking about harmonies earlier, and there's another one right there with some other. And people no longer with us, like Christopher Wallace, born on this day in 1972. Most people will remember him as the Notorious B.I.G.
Oh, yes.
Very, very talented rapper and writer.
Yep.
I don't think that anybody will ever, nobody ever got to see the real artist that he could be.
No.
He got associated with Sean Combs, and that's what I'm going to call, I'm not going to call him Puffy or P. Diddy or whatever he wants to call. He's a monster, and he needs to be called by his real name.
Hopefully soonly convicted. How about that? Yeah.
I get so tired, especially in sports, but I get tired of people needing a pat on the back all the time. This is the one time I will be a hypocrite, and I had this one from the very get-go. I had no idea how evil he was, but right from the get-go could see a panderer and see everything I say about in a country music game with these guys that are just pandering.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really what they're singing about.
Yep.
Puffy is this, Sean was the same thing,
right?
And he got latched on to real talent in Notorious B.I.G. and to Sean, Christopher Wallace, who was a really talented, great young rapper who got caught up in a lot of stuff that I don't think he really wanted to be involved with.
No, if you listen, he's one of the more, if you can kind of get past some of the, you know, the lyrics that he did and kind of in that whole genre, that gangsta thing, he had very thoughtful lyrics.
Yeah.
He was actually a very deep, you know, he was a very deep person, and you can see that in his lyrics. I would have been fascinated to see where he would have gone had he survived. Because
I get goosebumps thinking about
it. I think he would have been something really remarkable.
I was such a Tupac guy. I did not listen to a lot of his stuff, mm-hmm. but I did later on after his passing. And Warning, Sky's the Limit. Those are two stories. He was a storyteller.
He was.
When he was allowed to be. When he wasn't by, Sean.
You have to do this.
Being made
and you
to
have
do glitz and glamour and all that stuff and everything. I don't think that's what he was really about. No. And it's a shame. It's a darn shame. Now, I say all this, and if we're doing this show in New York, that's the greatest rapper of all time. That they will not budge on that one.
That's fine.
And it's funny to me because New Yorkers can be like that about their own, and I get it. With that one, it's different. It's not an ego thing. It's a pride thing. They're proud of him being from there. Yeah. And it's one of those interesting things that I think for all the stuff that is in media is talked about. And this is coming up very right now with the New York Knicks and them being on the rise, them being good for the first time in 20-some years. The New Yorker and the New York fan and how you look at those. Yep. And some people, they got no time for it or anything like that. And I think some of us are also, it's romanticized in some way
for
certain generations.
It is.
And it goes to him, too.
You know what? I kind of hope the Knicks do something this year because then they'll finally stop talking about...
Well, maybe they won't freak out after just winning a playoff game. Maybe they have some wins here and everything. They won't make such a big deal out of
New Yorkers, big old settle down. Settle down, everybody.
Richard Hatch, born in 1945, Apollo on the original Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, my gosh. The show that never would have been canceled.
And that'll do it for our birthday and anniversary club, but we wish everybody a great birthday anniversary. Can't think of a better way to celebrate than with our friends at El Cafe. Get over there today, 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. We'll be back after our news, sports, and entertainment break here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning Show at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you. Little time passages in.
My beloved Al Stewart.
It's been a while since you put some Al in there.
I was happy to restrain myself.
It was good of you. It was nice of you to do. Earlier, Seth and I were talking a little bit about flying cars and some of that craziness. Well, I don't know if this story is crazier or that one.
Okay.
You guys decide. You let us know through the Civic Media app or feel free to call up. The Wienermobile is known for delivering on our need for hot dogs and all of this and everything. But now it's also going to try to satisfy our need for speed. The Indian, that's bad.
That was terrible.
The Indianapolis 500 is this Sunday at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And this year, as part of the festivities, there will be a Weenie 500 featuring all six of the Wienermobiles.
There's six of them. Oh, I sort of remember vaguely recalling that.
To show where I went with this in my brain immediately, I wanted the same thing, but with all the Batmobiles. Every version of the Batmobile, I want to race with all of them.
Maybe they'll do that next year.
Yeah. The Weenie 500 is the first competitive race for the entire Wienermobile fleet, and the first time all six vehicles have gathered in one place in over a decade.
Wow. That's kind of cool, actually.
Did they steal this idea from the sausage races?
You and I are totally on the same page on this. Not only should the Wienermobiles be doing the Weenie 500 or whatever it is, the sausages need to drive the wiener. That's what we need to do.
Yes, we need to see a merging of these.
Yes, we do. We need the sausages to do that. Then it would be perfect.
I love that crossover. I love that. I don't pay attention to as much racing as I used to when I was a kid. My uncle is really into it, so I watch some NASCAR and watch some racing. Mm-hmm. The Indy 500 is my favorite one. I part of the brick. There's something about it. Talking to
you
about
this. You were talking to me about that, yeah.
I love that that's the finish line. I love the history of that.
Yeah,
there's
so much
looks
that's cool.
Unique and cool to me and everything. I could see wanting to be a part of this one because one of the bigger things that's been going on in sports that we don't hear a lot of people talking about is the ratings that have just been plummeting for NASCAR.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what's interesting to me about it is, the ratings for that has really plummeted. And I'm talking about here in the States.
Mm-hmm.
The ratings for here in the States for F1 and some of these others have shot up.
Yes.
And I didn't see that coming.
It is a bit surprising. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
So if you're wondering why you're going to be seeing this and other things like the Wienermobile and crossover promotions and a lot of this, NASCAR is trying to survive right now. NASCAR's in that kind of a tough situation where it's not just that they have some bad ratings or they've had been having a bad run. This is an American institution that is being really hurt right now by its own industry.
Yeah,
they keep messing with rules. They keep messing with these drivers. They're not treating the game right. Well,
I'm telling you right now, because a lot of people don't know this, they are in a lawsuit right now, NASCAR is, in an anti-monopoly lawsuit brought to them by Michael Jordan.
Yep.
Yes. By the way, did you know that you could privately bring an antitrust suit against an industry?
Yeah, I didn't know that until this.
Isn't that cool?
Just being honest with everybody, I didn't even know that.
But the fact that it's Michael Jordan, I mean, wow. Because I think people know he owns, you know, some NASCARs and stuff. He's a big racing fan.
A Carolina boy.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, and that is all part and parcel to what's going on with NASCAR. And, man, I don't know if people understand how big F1 is. In the world. I mean, the world over. It is insanely popular. I'm not surprised because their drivers are amazing. The stuff that they do, just amazing.
I didn't watch it, but they had a Netflix show about F1 that really helped with that, launching it more here in the States. It's had a popularity in the States, obviously, for a long time, but it's just really grown with the way they have learned to grow that sport.
Right.
Where NASCAR,
bring some races to the U.S.,
Everything I've been talking about with sports, with them taking the personalities out of sports. And the, like, you can't play a down in football or taking a bat in Major League Baseball without taking a public relations class. And okay, this is how you answer this question. This is how you answer this question.
Right.
And now there's no personalities in sports anymore. And they killed it in NASCAR. Mm-hmm. They destroyed it in NASCAR, where they all the Richard Petties or any even people that didn't watch NASCAR knew who Dale Earnhardt was.
Exactly. I remember, you know, like in the early 2000s, I don't follow NASCAR at all. But I knew a whole bunch of drivers because, you know, like the ads and stuff like that. I knew Matt Kenseth. He's from Wisconsin, you know, so I knew that. And, you know, Tony Stewart. I knew these names. I don't know anyone except for the old guys, you know, that are still racing. I don't know any of them anymore.
I'm going to be honest with you, Seth. Just keep this between us. Okay. I didn't even know there was multiple Wienermobiles. I didn't. So the representations here are the Chi Dog representing the Midwest, the New York Dog representing the East Coast, the Slaw Dog representing the Southeast, the Sonoran representing the Southwest,
okay,
the Chili Dog representing the South, and the Seattle Dog representing the Northwest.
Wait, Seattle Dog?
Yeah.
What is a Seattle Dog? See, I don't even know what that is.
They just gave up at the end there. Like,
put a Seattle Dog.
We got to represent the Northwest somehow. Make him a Seattle Dog. But just constant rain over him and drinking coffee the whole ride.
It's a very moist hot dog.
They say it'll also include custom hot dogger racing suits.
And nice.
A finish line celebration is in the Wiener Circle. There will be condiment spray and a hot dog for the champion, which sounds interesting. The race will happen on Friday at 2:00 Eastern Time, and it'll stream live on Fox Sports app and on the IndyCar on Fox social media apps. Yeah, I don't know.
I love it. It's a great idea, though. Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Now, I don't know. I don't even like saying this out loud necessarily, but I don't know if or not the hot dog races are planned. Like the winners of those are
right,
not.
Right.
I don't know if that's a little bit of a little kayfabe, a little wrestling or not there or not. With this, I almost think I know that they probably are designed. Mm-hmm. I know, you know, as a grown adult, I'm guessing that they're going to have the winner of this picked out. But I don't think that's the way to play this.
Okay.
I think if you really want to do this, let them actually race.
Okay.
And see which one is actually the fastest.
That would be interesting.
And everything. Which, on that side, I'm curious of who's driving these things. Yes. Now, I love your idea. I think that that's where you go with this. You have the sauce.
Get the sausages, right, yeah.
If you can have that, boy, dear God, would that be a disaster, bro? Like, there's no way those cars are going 5 feet without running into each other.
No.
How could those...
They can't even run without running into each other.
Every hot dog race, I feel so bad because it's that everybody knew that kid that ran with his arms straight down, and that's what I think of with the sausage race is that kid that in every school I ever went to, there was one kid who ran with his arms straight down. I don't know how they're gonna work this.
I think there's actually a speed governor on the Wienermobiles. They can't unless, and I don't think they're gonna take those off. So it's not gonna be like a fast race. I'm guessing it's gonna be pretty pedestrian, but it'll still be fun.
Yeah, it seems like it. Seems like it will be. I'm definitely going to have to see the highlights of that or something. We'll take a time out. We'll come back and have some more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Mornings at WFHR. Seth and James hanging out with you. We're going to take you to the top of the hour. Nothing but fun. Got a lot of good things lined up in the 10 o'clock. Not only going to get in some entertainment news, going to say goodbye to a TV legend. We're also going to talk about a couple of other fun topics. And we're also going to get into the ABC, Fox, and NBC fall schedules.
All right.
What to expect there, a little bit of that. And with that, kind of segueing into cable and streaming and what's happening there.
Yeah, it's a fascinating time right now. I can make a sneak peek on that one. How about lots of sports?
Yes.
On the networks. Lots of sports.
Lots of safe coming up with every network. That is a theme you're going to be seeing a lot of. A lot of safe bets.
Yeah.
It's a safe bet that you're going to attend a barbecue this summer if you're an American.
American.
I definitely will be.
Oh, yeah.
At least, I've already pretty much attended two barbecues now.
I've done some grilling. I've done a little grilling already, yeah.
Summer is around the corner, and if you're making a checklist, the average American says summer isn't complete without 4 cookouts, 3 getaways, 2 concerts, and 2 festivals. I don't know if I've ever done summer right, according to this. I've done some of those things in a summer. I don't know if I've done all of that in one summer.
Wow, that seems like a lot.
What bank account do you have
seriously
to be able to do that?
Well, we need some definitions, too, of course. Cookouts. I mean, what does that necessarily mean? Is that with, like, just your immediate family? Is it your bigger ones where you invite more people over? I mean, a getaway? That's not like a vacation.
No.
It's like a weekend kind of thing, I guess. Mm. I don't know the definition of that.
Yeah,
so
I don't know. So here are a few other stats to win along with this survey. On average, the perfect cookout has 11 guests, with everyone contributing something to share.
All right.
In fact, 64% of people say that it's a sin to show up without bringing anything.
Really?
Mm.
No, I don't agree with that.
At all. Not at all.
Unless specifically stated by the host saying, you know, please bring a dish to pass, or if you ask them, can I bring anything, and they say, sure, bring a salad or whatever, then that's cool. I'm totally on board with that. You should not be expected to bring anything. You are a guest.
And when it's done right, there shouldn't be multiples of things.
Yeah, right.
Like, everybody knows that Aunt Joni's potato salad is the greatest, or, you know,
yeah,
that kind
right
of thing. Like, everybody's got their thing that they do. Mm-hmm. It should be done right, you know, just set up. Quote, we plan to attend 5 barbecues this summer and host 4.
Wow. That's a lot.
That is a lot.
Holy cow.
But
do I even know that many people?
I don't think I do. I know I don't. I don't. We're just making people up now, just so I can say that I went to Ted's barbecue the other day. Boy, it was great.
Yeah.
Old Teddy. You've heard me mention him before,
like
right,
Ted?
Everybody?
Who's Ted?
I don't know if I've ever known somebody named Ted. That's. These are averages, I know.
I'm sure,
but that's
yes
still even high for that, I would
it
think.
It seems that way to me, anyway. But
the most popular grilling staples from most to least common are burgers, hot dogs, chicken, steak, ribs, bratwurst, kebabs, pork chops, and fish.
Yes.
That seems right.
All of those, I've done most of those on the grill. Kebabs are fun. I should do some more of those, because kebabs can be a lot of fun. Yeah.
Stephen and Katrina were talking about that. They've got some really cool stuff over at Family Natural Foods for those things.
Nice.
I think in the Midwest here, bratwurst would be ahead of chicken.
Yeah, well, especially
in
Wisconsin.
I think
you're right, and that's just average out through the whole country. Yeah, bratwursts are not nearly as big elsewhere.
I want to apologize. Journalistically, I should have mentioned before saying that I had brats last night.
Oh.
So I should have mentioned that.
Well, hey, I mean, you know.
My opinion may have been askew. I apologize. Older folks say their favorite barbecue side dish is potato salad, but younger generations prefer mac and cheese.
You can't go wrong with either of those.
Yeah.
You can have both. There's nothing wrong with having some mac and cheese and some potato salad.
Do not.
Coleslaw for me.
Yeah, okay.
To me, the barbecue, the cold dish that you like, is coleslaw is my favorite. I love that. Yeah.
Anything that's got barbecue on it, to me, that makes it that's all that I care about. That, yeah. All these other side dish things, I got no room for that. I have meat to make room for.
We need meat. Yes.
I got a brat. I need a hot dog. I got a brat. I need a burger. I need, yes. Give me more of that. So when it comes to the side dish thing too, and that's also interesting when you get more down south, and it becomes like there are picnics where the mac and cheese is a big part of the main course.
It is. It's a vegetable, and I'm not kidding. In the south, it's called a vegetable.
Yep,
it is, which I find endlessly amusing.
I love that.
I love it.
The most popular beverage is soda and soft drinks. Iced tea and water are next, followed by lemonade, beer, fruit punch, fruit juice, wine, and cocktails.
Wow.
Little hack here that everybody already knows, to bring it up, just in case anybody doesn't. During a barbecue, I will like, or anytime, I'm actually, you know, just dinner in general. I can't think of many meals I will not have just water with.
Mm.
Anything like soda or beer or any of these other things, taking up room in my stomach. I want room for that food. I don't like it. Plus, it's a great, if I want to just focus on the meal. Now, if I'm just eating to eat, like, which is 90% of my existence,
sure,
I'm just shoveling it in my mouth and I'm not really paying that much attention.
Chew it twice and down it goes.
Yeah. But if I'm sitting down to eat with, you know, my folks or a barbecue or something like that, it's water because it also just cleans my palate and I can really taste the food.
Right.
And I don't know. It's been about, it's been quite a few years now that I've gotten my taste buds back and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still enjoying that process. There's so many things that I don't feel like I was really tasting for many years.
Right. Oh my gosh. So last year we did, you know, mentioning about, you know, the drinks and how important those are. So last year I had a big party for Beth for her 50th birthday party. And so I was like, okay, I'm going through my list of like, well, what do I need here? I need this, this, and this, you know, to keep the food warm. And I need this. And I was like, okay, beverages. And I realized I don't have the big metal tub that you put all of the drinks in and then you fill it with ice, right?
Right.
So I literally went out and bought one just so
nice.
I could have my big metal tub that I could put all the drinks in. But I have it now, so I'm set.
Now you're set.
If I have a large group of people coming over, I know I just throw the beer and the soda into the big tub, throw a bunch of ice on there, and you're good to go.
You take care of that thing, it's going to last you a long time.
I'm telling you.
Take good care of that.
I don't know what else you actually use those for.
Right.
For me, it was always drinks.
And for me and my dad, and I get this from my father, with items like that, he has to find another use for it. Has to. It's not enough that it does one thing. He's got to find another use for it, and he will. Whether it's practical, whether it's smart, that's a whole other topic.
Doesn't matter.
It'll probably involve duct tape, too. It'll probably involve that.
Nice.
As for activities at a cookout, people rank their favorites like this: playing cards, cornhole, swimming, horseshoes, frisbee, badminton, basketball, football, and beer pong. Again, here in the Midwest, there's no way that cornhole and horseshoes would not be at the one or two spots on that list.
Cards,
I could see, but I don't know that I've ever played a card game during a barbecue.
I associate that with outside. Yeah. And playing cards outside can be a tricky, especially depending on the wind and all that. I mean, playing any kind of card game can be kind of tricky. I'm thinking more about, the outside games, right? You know,
you're like, moving around.
Yeah,
you're
right. Cornhole is big. You know, horseshoes, bocce ball. Mm. Always good at a party like that if you have a big enough lawn. I mean,
and then you get to say bocce ball.
Yeah, I mean, it's the awesome thing.
It's a fun thing.
How about ladder golf for those in the know out there?
Mm.
Ladder golf is fun. We have a ladder golf set at our house, and people, especially because it's not as well known as some of the other lawn games. That people, this is cool, you know, kind of thing where you have like a PVC pipe created stand with a couple of bars going across on the way down, and then you have two golf balls strung together with like rope in between.
Interesting.
And you try to wrap the golf balls around one of the poles, and you get a certain amount of points for which pole you wrap it around.
I would play that.
Underhand. It's fun. Yeah, actually, it is kind of fun. So
it's interesting. I just learned this in the last couple of seconds, and I already know more about that than I do croquet.
I can teach you about that too. I played that all the time when I was a kid. So.
You are lying.
No.
Nobody actually knows how to play croquet.
I do.
Crochet.
It's croquet, and croquet. I do know.
Crochet and croquet should combine, though. I want that as a sport.
You insult me, sir. I know how to play croquet.
Actually, I know it's. I bring it up because that's one of those ones that's not on the list that I would have thought would have been on there because that's still popular. It's still got people playing it.
My grandparents had a set. And that's how I learned. They actually taught us how to play the actual croquet game. So it can be fun. It can be really boring, too.
Well,
especially if you do it with kids, there's going to be one time when they just wind up and like whack it like into the next yard or something.
I think games like that are, once you're playing them, you realize how much fun they
get. Yeah, exactly.
You got to play them.
Yeah, if you're just watching, it's like, what's the big deal? I mean, what is this? Got to get out there.
I don't know about actual...
It's like curling.
Curling is where I went to right away with croquet. Because that's one where I wouldn't have thought it was, as a kid, I wouldn't have thought it was fun until I actually did a little bit of it and everything. I'm like, oh, this is actually
It is actually fun.
It's
yeah.
It's a great time. Shout out to our curling club here. It joins us all the time. I basketball is misleading. Horse or 21 or those kind of things.
Oh, absolutely.
Nobody's playing a full court basketball game.
Just shooting games. Yeah, that's it. You are absolutely right.
But all those games are fun because they get us moving and everything, and the exercise, which gets a little, you know, maybe you eat a little bit much and you get some of that out of you. You know, it's great.
Well, and for me growing up, we were able to do a couple of like softball games because we had a big yard, so we could make a baseball diamond. So if we had enough people, we would actually play a game of softball.
That's pretty cool.
Had one of my cousins run into me once and plowed in. I was at home plate and he was playing a little Steve, playing a little hard, and he ran. He plowed into me. He totally just took me out. He broke my glasses. I mean, come on, Steve.
Pete Rose moment there.
It was, too. You were blocking the plate. Come on, man.
We got to get into a conversation sometime on playmakers about that, about what they've done with that, and if it's good or bad for baseball.
Oh, right.
Another one that I don't see on the list that was gigantic in our family, we would get together for a long time, and God, do I miss this. We would get together as a family reunion, of course, you know, in the summer, like a lot of families.
Right.
We had stopped doing it like 20 years ago, and I miss my family so much when it comes to that. We always played volleyball.
Volleyball.
And that's, I was that's a little surprised not to see that on the list.
You get out the badminton rackets. A little badminton is fun, too.
Badminton's great. Yep. That's a good one, too. Yeah, all good ones. and another good one to celebrate all spring long here, as we are doing this up until the 15th of next month, our good friends at the United Way of South Winton and Ems Counties have their diaper drive going on from Mother's Day to Father's Day.
Nice.
This will be going on until the 15th. You can drop off your new and unopened diapers of all sizes, wipes, unscented preferred, diaper rash paste, all the fixins. You, as a parent out there, know exactly what is needed.
You know.
And a change of clothes. No, I'm kidding. I'm not that. Monetary donations are also accepted. If you don't, you know, have time to go grab some diapers, or you're just worried about not grabbing the right size or something, you know, that is okay as well.
They will accept all sizes, I'm sure. So,
and greatly appreciate the United Way seeing this as a need and doing this in our community, and helping that another gray area out, like few, you know, organizations are better at seeing. And certainly good. All this, the people in this community that just step up time and time again when it comes to these kind of drives that we do. We know something about this here at the station. We do a lot of these throughout the year, and
we do.
We get to see so much of the great feedback and the great way that the community responds to these.
Okay.
The United Way is open at from Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 4 at 351 Oak Street right here in Rapids. You could drop those items off over there, and if you're not on that side of town, you want to drop them off over here, we'll make sure they get to Terry in that.
For sure.
Just get them to somebody and we'll make sure they get to the right people.
Yeah, right.
Really, again, big thank you to the community for this.
I want people to deliver a whole bunch here so that we force Terry to fill up her car with diapers to bring them back to the United Way. That's what I want to see.
I want to see that, yes. Such a great image right now. I can't get it up. We got fun stuff lined up in the 10 o'clock hour. We're going to get in some entertainment news, a bunch of other things. Also, new parents. How many photos do they average new parent take?
Ooh, good question.
Got that one lined up for you, along with some good news stories of the day. And we're going to get you caught up on our schedule and some great things going on in our community. All that happening right here at WFHR.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.